and Lord, that we might walk with you in that love relationship. And Lord, I just pray that that would be a very real experience for each person here today. And Lord, for anyone that might be here today, that the concept of having a personal relationship of love with you, Lord, seems foreign. Lord, I just pray that your Spirit would just move in their hearts and their lives today. And Lord, just speak to them of the love that you have for them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. Just a reminder, too, that for about a month, we have been providing preschool church for the younger kids, and that goes just like nursery, goes the entire hour. The older kids have the opportunity to then go out during the message time for a church time designed for them. I also wanted to just give a plug. This Wednesday is the beginning of a two-part series at our membership class. So if you're interested in possibly joining the church or just want to know more about the Warren Alliance Church or more about this group called the Christian Missionary Alliance, the next two Wednesday nights, there will not be a regular prayer meeting for adults. It will be the membership class. So this is an opportunity, too. We've invited anyone that's newly joined the church in the last year, but also open it up to the entire congregation. If you'd like to come out, there's some resources that I think you'll find helpful just to hear a little bit more about who the Alliance is and talking about what it means to be a part of this church, but also talk about our mission as a church. Today we're going to be taking a moment to honor our mothers. And just before we dive into this message, I'm very sensitive to the fact that this is one of those days on the calendar that for some people it's a wonderful day, and for some people they dread this day. Because of either possibly a poor experience with their own mother, or maybe you had a wonderful mother who has already gone to be with the Lord, and this is a day of pain. And I just want to encourage you today, this is a day that we're going to be talking about the women, not just our mothers, but the women who have influenced us, who have shaped us. But also it's a challenge, again, not just for the women here, but a challenge for the men as well, to look at the legacy that we're leaving. Because everything that we talk about for women today applies to the men as well, in the sense of what legacy we're leaving. But to start out, we're going to watch a clip that answers the question of what does a mother really want? And you can kind of have an idea of what a mother would want, but let's go ahead and watch the clip and see what they recommend.
Hello, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Melinda.
And Carrie and I decided it would be a good idea to prepare a statement for our families who are out there searching for that elusive, perfect Mother's Day gift. Now, Carrie and I differ somewhat on ideas for this gift, and she won the coin toss.
Yay!
So I will be her interpreter. Carrie?
Thank you, Melinda.
You're welcome.
To all of our loved ones, our husbands, our children, and Miss Bonita down at the corner coffee shop that makes those little chocolate chip muffins. They are so good. I could just eat. Okay, sorry. We know you work hard all day long at your jobs and at school, and so we'd like to take the opportunity to say that this Mother's Day, all we need is your love, your time, and your affection. There's no need for material gifts such as flowers or jewelry or gift cards. We feel your appreciation in your hugs and your smiles, that sparkle in your eyes, the homemade cards and the clay handprints. All those special moments I will cherish. The first words you spoke, the first time you walked, all those nights I stayed up with you when you were sick. I love taking care of you. I wouldn't even know what to tell you to get me for Mother's Day. Because flowers wilt, jewelry loses its shine, gift cards are lost and forgotten. But your time, your affection, Miss Bonita, those little chocolate chip muffins, they stay right here. So please don't stress out this Mother's Day. Don't worry about what to get me. I have the gift of your love, and that is all that I need. It is an honor to be your mom. because I know that our time together is so short. You won't be my baby forever. Well, just yesterday, you were toddling up to me, reaching up those little chubby arms for me to pick you up. All too soon, there will be a last goodnight story, the last nighty-night hug, the last little kiss before my little bird flies away. Aw. Happy Mother's Day. Now, I'm her interpreter. She said happy Mother's Day.
I love my kids.
She loves her kids.
I do.
She does.
But the kids being sticky, I can totally relate to that. I remember when Bryce was first born, I was still working with the youth at McKeesport, and one of the boys had a phobia with kids, and one day Bryce had just snot everywhere, and I thought he was just going to run out of the room. He wouldn't go anywhere near a kid that was sticky. But anyways, that message of what mothers want, I think it's a good reminder just of how much our mothers do care for us. But I also realize that there are other women that have probably invested in your life as well. And I'm going to share a little bit about that in my life as well later in the message. But today we're going to be talking about taking time to not only honor our mothers, but to think about the legacy that our mothers leave, but also the legacy that other women in our lives that have invested in us, and get each of us thinking, and this includes the men, about what type of legacy are we leaving. And if you look in the slide, there's just a brief definition about legacy. Legacy is something that's passed on to us by our ancestor, our predecessor. There's someone who, whether biological or sometimes even in our churches, are the people who have gone before us, they pass on a legacy. And that can be good. That can be bad. For most of us, it's a mixed bag. And I know looking back in my own family, I realize if I go back a few generations, there are things I cherish about the McCracken family. There are also some things that are a very human reminder. And so it's reality is when we look back and we celebrate the people that have gone before us, no one is perfect. Only our Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's important that we're aware of that. But I think it's important that we take time to say thank you. And for those of you who, the women in your life, your mothers and other women who have already passed on, one way that you can honor them is to share a story with someone else about their life and talk about how they shaped you and how they impacted your life and remember them and honor their memory today. But I'll address the kids section. If you have not already got a gift for your mother, I don't know if you can get to them all, but I'm not sure how much that helps you either, but you definitely want to encourage you to be thinking, what can you do to be an encouragement to your mom today? And take a moment today to just think about the women who are investing in your life right now. Today, I just want us to think about what are some of the things that our mothers have taught us. When we think about the legacy and what our mothers pass on, I like what one person put together. They have a long list of all the lessons that their mother taught them. I'm going to read them, and you can see if this relates to any of you. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, "You better pray that that stain comes out of the carpet." My mother taught me logic from her decisive words, "Because I said so, that's why." My mother taught me foresight. And this reminds me of my mother. Make sure you're wearing clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. Keep laughing, and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me stamina. You'll sit there until the spinach is finished. My mother taught me about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in the world who don't have a wonderful mom like you do. And my favorite, borrowed from Bill Cosby, My mother taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. You know, our mothers teach us things, whether they are intentional about it or not. I love the quote from Rose Kennedy, the mother of John F. Kennedy, former president. She said that whenever I held my newborn babe in my arms, I used to think about what I did and what I said to him would have an influence not only on him, but on everyone he meets, not for a day or a year, but for all time and eternity. What a challenge and what a joy. Now, I'm not sure she did that with all of her sons, but if you know the political history there. But you know, that concept of a mother realizing that they're not only going to shape that life, but the way that you shape that life is going to impact other people's lives. And that's the joy of being a parent, but it's the joy, really, that we all can experience when we invest in someone else. And many of you have experienced surrogate grandparents, surrogate parents, people that have just welcomed you into their home. And you also have the opportunity, if you don't have your own children, to look for people. There are people everywhere that are looking for that type of a relationship and someone who's really going to love them and care for them unconditionally. Today, I just want us to think about those women in our life and the impact that they had on us and what they taught us, but I also want us to look at our own lives and say, what type of legacy am I leaving? And we're gonna look at two questions. There are two questions that we're going to ask. What women have positively shaped your life? I mean, who are the women? Who are the women who have made an impact in your life? And whose life are you impacting today? So who are the women who have impacted your life, and who are you impacting today? Proverbs 31 is probably the most well-known scripture that speaks to women and to mothers, and probably is going to be read in many churches today. And I want to read a few verses from that. But Proverbs 31, I always remember back in the school that I went to. It was a faith-based school, Asbury College. And one day they had an open time where people could just say an encouraging word or give a testimony or stand up and just read scripture. And one guy on the campus that was known to kind of be in kind of like the class clown. But he was also known for pursuing most of the women on the campus. Stood up one day and quoted Proverbs 31:10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Anyways, there was some laughter with that because he obviously was not doing well in his search. But that this verse, this chapter, gives us a picture of a woman who's being held up as a model. And it goes on to describe in detail all the things that this woman does to care for her family. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12 and then jump down to verse 26. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And then again, it goes into a lot of detail of how she is making clothing for her family and doing all these things in the home and out of the home. But then it ends with these words in verse 26. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise in the city gate. You know, these verses give us a model of how, what type of things we should be looking for in our mothers and the women that have invested in us, and the challenge is to not only see what they have done for us, but to tell them. And I'm glad you had the opportunity to publicly say something to your mom today. And I think we all need to be looking for those opportunities. If your mother is still living, make the phone call, make the visit, do what you can to encourage her. Or if there's another woman in your life that's impacted you, take some time today to, like Proverbs 31, just talk about some of the things that she did for you and how she impacted your life or is still impacting your life. But we also know that Scripture talks about a lot of other women. And if I ask you about famous women in Scripture, I'm guessing I would doubt that these two women come to mind that I'm going to introduce you to. Anyone know Lois and Eunice? Okay, well, let's look at the passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1, 4 through 6. Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man that he's mentoring and he's pastoring and raising up to lead in the church. And he highlights in this, talking about Timothy's faith, he highlights two women who are his mother and his grandmother and the investment that they have made in his life. He says in verse 4, 2 Timothy 1, 4 through 6, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now also lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." You know, Timothy, in these words, we're reminded of the fact he has an incredible spiritual heritage. And I want you to think about that impact. I mean, the reality is Paul is saying, look, I see the faith in you. I see what God is doing in you. And there's a spiritual heritage legacy that you have. And he mentions the grandmother and the mother who shared that faith and passed that faith on to Timothy. But then he challenges Timothy to fan the flame of that gift. One thing that's very important, it doesn't matter what type of spiritual heritage, spiritual legacy you have. If you're not doing something with it, if you're not pursuing Christ yourself, it's not really doing you any good. But in my life, I found that the more that I'm following after Christ and the more I'm walking with him, the more I appreciate the spiritual legacy and heritage that I have. And I'm going to share a little bit later about some of that. But I just want you to think for a moment. Think about Timothy and think about those women and think about the fact that they shared their faith with Timothy and then Timothy impacted so many. I want us to look at five things that women and mothers often pass on. But I believe that each one of us, women and men today, if you're honest about your life and look at your life, realize that you're going to have the opportunity to impact someone else, whether you have your own children or whether you adopt officially or unofficially. You'll often hear me talk about Jack and Benny Hill. Yeah, Jack and Betty. I got in trouble once. I said Jack and Betty, and someone thought I said Benny Hill, and I had to clarify. Jack and Betty Hill were my dad's youth pastors, youth directors in a little Methodist church where he grew up, and they invested in his life. But when my dad started having his kids, my sisters, myself, they adopted us as like spiritual grandchildren. So again, I'll clarify, not Benny, Jack and Betty Hill were people, we had no blood relationship to them. There was nothing official, but they invested in our life. Those of you that know Benny Hill are laughing and smiling. The rest of you are not getting that. Anyways, I had someone very concerned when I had referenced that before in a previous church. But you know, we have the opportunity to invest our lives in other people. And again, whoever it is that you're investing in, the time that you share with them will impact them. And the choices you have to make as a mother and father, you have to make a choice of how you're investing in the kids while you have them at home and how you're pouring into their lives. But also those people that you welcome into your family and welcome into your life, you have the opportunity to impact them and invest in them as well. But you know, two of the things that we pass on that I think this is so clear are our memories and our personalities. And I shared that for some of you today that your mothers have already passed on. This is a wonderful day for you to sit down with the remaining family or friends and share a story, share a favorite memory about your loved one. And talk about that, because as you share about their life and how they impacted you, it's a way of honoring them and giving tribute to their life. Our memories shape us, and they stick with us. And most of us can think of some really good memories from as a child. And if we're honest, most of us can think of some memories we'd like to really push aside. They weren't our best memories of our parents. And I want to encourage you to think about that. If you have a little one at home today, realize they are like a videotape and they're taking it all in. Sometimes I'm shocked when Bryce or Katie will say something about a memory of some event that I had totally pushed out of my mind, and they remember every detail. They're like little tape recorders. And they're soaking it in. And we have to look and say, what type of memories are we making with our kids? What type of memories are we making with the people that we've adopted into our life? But we also need to realize that our personalities will impact them as well. I realized very early, before Katie was born, it was just Jan and Bryce and I, that Bryce and I one day were out back and we were putting his toys back in the sandbox. And Bryce corrected me that I wasn't putting them in wrong. I wasn't putting them in correctly. He had a system of how the toys had to go into the sandbox. And I thought to myself, oh my, he's like a small Jana. Didn't say it, but I mean, he gets a lot of those traits. That organizational skill, I mean, he just loves. He actually invented a word. He's up in the sound room. He invented a word, separatize. He wasn't separating, organizing. He was separatizing things. He was getting things all organized. And, you know, I remember that moment and thinking, oh, we need to have another child just so I can have someone I can relate to. And boy, did I get my wish. Katie is so much like me that I look at the personality things. I'm thinking, I don't even know if I taught her that or she just kind of came with my personality traits. But I remember my mother used to get so frustrated because I would argue a point to no end. It didn't matter if she gave 10 reasons. I would just stand firm and argue that point. I'm now experiencing the other side of that. And Katie, where is Katie? She's here somewhere. Okay. Oh, she's in the classroom. Okay. Sorry, we've sent her out. So I can be free to talk. Katie is someone, though, I look at those traits and those things that I know drove my mother nuts, and I'm thinking, I'm sure she'd appreciate this. Now, my mother would, but... But, you know, I look at that and I realize, too, that a lot of those traits are things that will serve Katie well. And our personalities, a lot of that is innate. You're born with it. A lot of that is shaped as well. I think it's a combination of both. What we experience in our environment shapes our personality, but there are certain things that we realize we're born with it, and it reflects our parents and those that went before us. And I just want to encourage you to think about how much you're passing on in that. And what is in our control and within the environment to say, am I giving good personality traits? Am I helping them learn the good and the bad with those things of who they are? We have to make a choice because those are some of the things we pass on. For good or bad, we pass those things on. One of the things that we do have a lot more choice, though, on is the third thing, and that's character. We have a choice about the character that we instill in our children. And we have a choice about the character that we instill in those others that we invite into our lives. Proverbs 22:6 says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. That idea of training is not teaching in the sense of lecture. It's the idea of modeling and training more in the sense of like an ongoing relationship of training. It's something that we can't say, that, oh, we gave the lesson on patience one day, we never have to talk to our kids about patience again. It's every day. As we're living life together, things come up and we have to go to God's Word. We have to talk about those things. I've had recent opportunities to talk to my kids about some challenges they're facing and go to the Scripture and say, hey, if someone's treating you poorly, how do you respond? I mean, it's one thing for me to open up the Bible and talk about praying blessings over your enemies. It's a whole other thing when I have one of my children sitting in front of me with tears and struggling with that. Of how someone's treating them. And so we have to be intentional and have that in our mind all the time to say, you know, we're not just feeding them. We're not just giving them a place to sleep. We're training them. And we're instilling character into them for good or for bad. And the reality is whether you're intentional or whether you're not, you are teaching your kids character. And it's important that we understand that more character is caught than taught. They're gonna see it in your life. And if you try to instill something in them that is not in your life, kids will see right through that. Is that true, kids? See that? Not real talkative today. You know, we have to look at that and realize that we have to be intentional but we have to model it. We have to look at the life that we're living and say, are we modeling the things that we want to instill in our kids? And when we invite other people into our homes, into our life, are we living a life and training them in a character that reflects the character of Christ? We also, though, can train our kids in our values. Matthew 6, 19 through 20, Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, our kids are watching us, and those people you invite into your life, they're watching you. And if you say one thing and your values demonstrate another, and how you spend your time, how you spend your resources, how you live your life, if the way you're living your life doesn't reflect the values that you're talking about and coming out of your mouth, kids will see that inconsistency, and everyone else will see that inconsistency. And we need to ask ourselves, do we really understand the values that are important to us? And are we, is there integrity in our life that we're demonstrating the values to those around us? Our kids are watching, and they will value what you value. The last thing, though, we see is our faith. We have the opportunity to pass on our faith, much like Lois and Eunice, and that's the verse that we have here, 2 Timothy 1:5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Again, as I said earlier, it doesn't matter how good of a spiritual heritage you have. If you don't do something with it, it'll be wasted. You have to make a choice to respond to Christ and invest your life in following after him. And that, if you really want to make the people that have invested in you and that had that spiritual legacy and heritage for you, if you want to make them proud, follow hard after Christ and follow in their footsteps. Don't just celebrate what they did, but you live the life as they modeled and as they have passed on to you. Timothy had the choice of fanning that flame of not only what he received when the hands of the elders were laid on him, but the faith that his grandmother and his mother had invested in him. And God was using Timothy. I want to ask you, are you investing? Are you making those type of choices to say, you know, I'm excited about spiritual heritage and I want to create a new spiritual heritage and pass on a faith to a new generation? Some of you are here and you look back and you say, I'm from a family that has no spiritual heritage. Or maybe they were off track and you're trying to lay down new tracks and lay down a new heritage for your kids. God will guide you through that. But make the choice to say, I want to not only live this life for myself, but I want to pass something on to someone else. Today, I just want to say it's kind of a tribute to some of the women in my life who have demonstrated a lot of this to me and passed on that heritage and the spiritual faith. My mother is someone who, in a lot of very real practical ways, just demonstrated practical faith to me. I don't know if that's the best word to describe it. But she had a genuine faith that when things were tough, she was relying on Christ for strength. And I know I watched her opening up her Bible regularly and getting into God's Word and reading God's Word. And I knew that her faith was genuine. I also, something that I appreciate about my mother's faith is that she wasn't flowery in any way about what she talked about. She wanted to see practical things. How does this faith apply to my life? How does this truth apply to my life? And an authenticity that I think I see in her life, that she was very honest about the struggles, very honest about the hardships, and yet there was a faith in Christ and is a faith in Christ. So that's part of what I'll be telling her when I call her later today, or I'll send her the tape. I'm not sure, but no, I will be calling her later today. But you know, I also had when I go back even beyond my parents, I'm amazed when I look back and saw the spiritual heritage I had. I had two great aunts on my dad's side who had invested in me, and we grew up until I was about 7 or 8. I was a part of a little country church, United Methodist Church, and it was one of those small country churches that every year during Sunday school promotion, I moved up with the teacher because there was no one in the class before and no teacher after, And so for like 3 or 4 years, my Aunt Bertha was my Sunday school teacher. And she invested in me and the preacher's kid. It was just the two of us for like 2 or 3 years. And I look back and I celebrate that. And she's, both of my great aunts have passed on. But I look back and I realize before I even understood that, I just think how special that was probably for my Aunt Bertha to know that she was not only investing in the kid, but this is her grandson, her great nephew. Her sister, my Aunt Esther, when I got a little older, she used to pick me up anytime her church had a special activity. My parents had us active in church, but if my Aunt Esther's church was doing something, she would take me and my siblings and we'd go. And I always remember going to this little country church, but I was young enough I didn't realize what it was or where I was. I was in Egypt, PA, and right across the river from Shawville where we lived. Goshen was right up the road. Eden was right up the road. So it was a lot of biblical names where I grew up. But, you know, this little church in Egypt, my great aunt used to take me there. And it's only been probably in the last 10 years that I realized that that little country church that she took me to was an Alliance church. And just realizing that connection and the investment that they made in my life, I'm just so grateful. And I share that as a way of honoring them. But, you know, today, we need to do something with this. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to look at our own lives, but we need to do something in relation to what we've talked about. And so I have two questions that will help you come up with some steps that we can take. One, I want you to ask, and only you can answer this. I can't tell you how to apply what we've talked about today. You need to answer this for yourself. How can I honor or thank the women who have shaped and impacted my life? How can I honor and thank the women who have impacted my life? I mean, if you have someone in mind, think about something practical that you can do. Kids, if you can take some time to clean your room, I think your mom will probably appreciate that. Someone shared a while ago, said that the quickest way for a mother to get the attention of her children is to sit down and look comfortable. When I shared that with Jana a few years ago, she said, or get on the phone. As soon as you're on the phone, someone's there. Think about how you can encourage and be a blessing to your mom today. Make the phone call. Do something to honor. If your mother's already passed, share the story. Talk about how your mother impacted your life. But two, what steps, and again, this includes you too, men, what steps can I take to make a more positive impact on those around me? Again, you're shaping others. You're impacting others. And what are you doing? I'm very amazed when I look back and realize that not only family members had invested in me. In my previous church, there's a woman named Marion Durr. She moved south to be with family probably about 6 years ago. She'd served as a secretary for the church for 30 years, and she was the matriarch of the church. And as I hear about Miss Kaiser, I often think about Marion. And Marion is someone who I still occasionally will call and talk to. Marion was someone who her husband had passed away when her kids were still young. So she raised the kids. Her kids are all now older and on with their own families. But Marion not only had her biological children, she was known in my previous church as either Gigi, as everyone's grandmother, or as Aunt Marion. Most people, it was Aunt Marion. And I know, as I hear some of you talk about Miss Kaiser, I know that she impacted your life and shaped not only your life, but she made an impact on this congregation. Her life and her example, I've never even met the woman, still choking me up. I look forward to meeting her. Because I know that if the congregation reflects her, I'm very much looking forward to meet her. She's invested in you, and her life and her example made an impact on your lives and on this congregation. And that serves as an example to say, for some of you that are here and say, I don't have my own children, but I want to live a life that can impact someone else and invest in them. Marion Durr was someone who was an encourager. If you were going through a difficult time, she sensed it. She would put her arm around you, and how can I pray for you? She was a counselor. Anyone in the church that was going through a difficult time, there were oftentimes if they'd be telling that, say, have you talked to Aunt Marion? Because Aunt Marion always knew a way to encourage, but she also was known as a prayer warrior and someone who would take that need before the Father. You know, you have an opportunity, we all have the opportunity, not just to celebrate the lives of people like Marion, Miss Kaiser, but we can be that type of a person, to invest our lives in the lives of others. And I just want to encourage you today as we prepare to close and as we sing our final song, to just make the choice of what type of legacy you want to leave. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, for the women that you have put into our lives. And Lord, I realize that when we not only take time to honor and celebrate them, but as we look at our own lives and that wake that we're leaving and the tribute or the legacy that we're leaving to others, Lord, that can be a scary thought. And yet, Lord, we just rely on you and we desire, Lord, that you would shape us, that you would do whatever work is necessary in our hearts and our lives, Lord, that we'd reflect you. Lord, I pray that there would be a day that when people would look back in my ministry or with my kids and our family, Lord, that they would look at my life as a life that left a positive trail for them to follow. And Lord, I just ask that for each of us, Lord, that you would just give us a vision for the life that you desire for us to live. And Lord, mold us and shape us into people that reflect the character of Christ. And Lord, use us to be a blessing, like Miss Kaiser, that we could bless and impact others for you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.